So, Father, we come right now for Karen Johnson. She's recovering from surgery, and Lord, you know all about this. So we just ask for a quick recovery. We just ask, Lord, that you go to the very core and source of her being and let it heal from the inside out. God, that she will have the courage and fortitude and strength, God, to obey the rules and let her body heal. That it won't be as long and hard and drawn out as it seems like it's going to be. That you'll help her through the Thanksgiving and Christmas, Lord, and seeing grandkids and all of this, God, that you would just give her strength. May she mend quickly and touch her spiritually. May she grow and be strengthened with your word during this time. I pray, Lord, for Diane Butler, who's having knee surgery today. So, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would guide the hand of the physician, that everything will go well, that every piece will go in place like it's supposed to, that you will help her with pain and the recovery of it, Lord, and that she will be, Lord, over this situation, able to move and walk and have no issues with her knees. Father, I pray for the family of Neva Churchill, who's gone home, and we just ask that you will just comfort that family and strengthen them and watch over them. It's good to know when someone dies and feel confident that they are with you. And that's the most blessed gift, Lord, that they can leave us is the knowledge, Lord, that they walked with you. And we just ask, God, that you will bless and strengthen this family, draw them together during this time in Jesus' name. Amen. And continued prayer for Neva's brother, Lord, Dean. I just pray, God, that he will open his heart, Lord, that he will receive you, that he will know again in the quietness of his heart that he is right with you. And, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will strengthen him physically, that the physical therapy will help him, that you will touch his brain, that every bit of the problem will be cleared up in his brain. And God, that you will extend his years and give him time to show his family that he's serving you and love you, and know you and walk with you, Lord. We just ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Prophetic Voice Ministries, as I said, is our Facebook sponsor today. They're at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. They have Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, and then church again at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. Apostle Casey Elliott is their leader. And so if you don't have a church home, check that out. The Refuge Church, which is a non-denominational church, is at 18304 East 1140 Road at Sayre. They're in the New Liberty Church building now. And they have services on Sunday at 10 for Sunday school, Sunday worship 10:45, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, and Wednesday Bible study at 7. If you need more information, you can call Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey at 729-0956. One of our newest Facebook sponsors is Gateway Church. They're located at 4772 West 3rd Street. That's just a half mile past Tractor Supply. Chasten and Brooklyn Music are the pastors, and they would love for you to come just as you are and join them for their worship services. The service times are morning worship at 10:30, a Spanish service at 2 o'clock, Sunday evening at 6, and then Wednesday night Bible study at 6:30. And so if you need more information about the Gateway Church, you can call them at 225-4646. They believe that we are stronger together. Now let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Barbados and Ford of Elk City is Western Oklahoma's auto service headquarters. With the largest team of certified technicians anywhere around, we're here to help you keep your vehicle running its best, Ford or not. No matter your make or model, you can count on us, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. And while you're here, shop our entire inventory with financing as low as 0.9%. Only at BarbadosandFord.net.
We are back. This is the Hour of Power. Sister Judy Gifford is our guest today, bringing us a great lesson about the blessings that we have, the things that the Lord helps us with, that they're there for us. They're just waiting for us to partake of them. So, Sister Judy, I'm going to let you get right back in. I know going to this part about prayer for spiritual wisdom. And
yes.
Well, we pray for wisdom a lot in this day and age. We have to pray for wisdom and guidance, don't we?
Amen. This is Paul's prayer for his church, for the churches that he, like, established. I'm assuming, I don't even know, I didn't read the four things of here, if he actually is one that established his churches, but he established a lot of churches, and so he's talking to the Ephesians, and he's telling them here, it says, prayer for spiritual wisdom. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I tell you what, that is so important for us to pray for each other. Mm-hmm. The Bible says for us to even confess our faults to one another and pray for one another that we might be healed. So it's very important that we don't have pride. I think sometimes you don't want somebody to know you're struggling, or you don't want somebody to know the issues, or maybe you don't even know the issues, you just don't want them to know what's going on, and yet really, when it boils down to it, we gotta drop that pride and get a hold of God. If we can't pray it through ourselves, then we need to get with someone or several someones till we can get this thing prayed through and find out what's going on. But Paul said, I don't forget to make mention of you in my prayers. So he was a regular prayer, and that's really important for us to be regular prayer. The devil will try to hinder your prayer in every way he can, but you just keep praying. And you can pray while you work, and you can pray while you're showering, and you can pray in the car, and you can pray everything. And then it's good to have a place of prayer. A lot of people tell us to just have a certain place that you go. My husband and I would go into our bedroom. We always used the prayer room at the church. He would every day of the world. And actually, I think I told you this, when we resigned pastoring, he'd go, where am I going to pray? He finally decided he could pray back in the back rooms, you know, of our house, because there wasn't anybody there but us, you know, and so he could use one of the bedrooms in there to pray, which he did. But and I noticed it when he was pastoring, he prayed loud, and I think he prayed loud so other people could learn how to pray and listen to his prayer. A lot of people go, I can't even pray in the prayer room if Pastor Gifford's there, because I can't think to pray. I have to just say whatever he's praying, give me some of that, you know. But when he was home, it was very quiet prayer. And it amazed me, the difference in how he prayed. You know, I mean, he wasn't trying to lead the church. You know, I realized later he's trying to lead the church in prayer, and lead the people that were listening, lead the people. He would pray. He would pray with his he was a presbyter, and he would pray with the pastors that would come to meet him at the fellowship meeting. And he would walk and pray, or he would kneel in a certain place and pray out. So those pastors would learn to pray and learn to call on the Lord. And I'm assuming that was the reason. He never told me that, but anyway, I'm going to read what Paul says here. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now listen to that. He's given you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need that. There's some things we just don't know about. And we don't know how to act in it. We don't know what to do about it. I think particularly when it comes to demonic forces, we don't know a lot about that. We don't know. As I said before, you can't necessarily take them on just yourself. You need some wisdom and revelation to know. You need the knowledge. You need the knowledge of God about everything, about Jesus and how his power and his power over everything. It says here, here's his prayer, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope we have that he has called us in his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is our rich? Are we just stopping to think of what is the glory of our calling? What glory it is that we're called? What? I mean, how do we even grasp all of that? The glory of our calling? What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? We got an inheritance waiting. We got an inheritance waiting. It says here, this little insert says, God wants us to open our spiritual eyes to the awesome, incredible things that are now ours in Christ Jesus. Often, our view of God and our experience with him is much, much smaller than it should be. Jesus wants us to expand our knowledge of God. He wants us to realize the God who hung the stars, created galaxies, keeps the earth in its proper orbit, has a destiny for us that is so fantastic we can't conceive it in our wildest imaginations. So praise God. That I love that. I marked that in pink last night. Pardon me. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So he wants us to begin to grasp the greatness of his power toward us. His power is so great. And he gives it to us, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead and set him at the right hand of God. God did all of that through mighty power. Think of the power it took to raise the dead. And just think what's going to happen in the rapture. All of these people are going to rise at one time. They're coming back with him, coming in through their bodies and all that power. I don't think we can begin to comprehend the kind of power God really has. I'm sure I don't. Mm-hmm. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. You know what? The people who are not believers, these promises don't belong to them. Mm-hmm. If they receive Jesus, they do. They're not promised eternal life. They're not promised health. They're not promised divine intervention. They're not promised hope. They're not promised anything. So really, to be a lost soul is a dangerous thing. You're not promised anything. Everything good, the Bible says, every good and perfect gift comes from above.
Amen.
Cometh down from the Father of light, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's not going to change, not one little bit. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can call on his name. His promises are true. He's not like the liar who comes up and promises you something that he can't give because he don't have it to give. He promises you fun. He promises you all this kind of stuff. And truly, when you bite on it, he don't give you that thing. He slips that out from under. If it was there, it really wasn't there in the first place. And he gives you trouble. And he gives you heartache. And he gives you sorrow. And he tries to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he offers you anything and lets you taste, it'll be a tiny bit. And then he'll grab it. And it won't be worth flip. And so what you have to do is go, you know what? Out of here, Satan. That's what Jesus did. Went to the word. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He had a word coming. And every time he said, it is written, it is written. He didn't even try to argue with the devil. He just presented him with the word of God. And I spend too much time arguing, I think. I spend too much time going, out of here, get. And, you know, he don't skadoodle so much until you get the word of God. Mm-hmm. And go, you know what? This is what this says. I didn't say it. God said it. He said it. So out of here. I know the 21st of September, I was walking in my home, and I had just kind of felt oppressed or something. And I'm like, Satan, I don't care what you do. I'm serving God.
Amen.
And boom, at that. Just boom. Because he's not going to stay around where you when you reject him. And what some of my problem has been with others, we listen. We don't really kind of realize we're listening. We're analyzing. Are you too analytical? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are we too hard on ourselves usually? Mm-hmm. We're too hard on ourselves, and we're too analytical. We try to analyze everything and figure it out. But my husband used to say, honey, you can't figure out a lie. You can't categorize a lie and work it out. If you've prayed, too, here's another thing. If you've done something, you feel like you've done something wrong, and you ask Jesus to forgive you, and you don't feel any release, then it's probably condemnation. Mm-hmm. It's probably not conviction drawing you to repentance. It's probably the devil going, you naughty little girl, you know. Mm-hmm. Except he'd probably call me a big fat cow, you know what I mean? You know. You naughty person. Oh, that's not conviction, and that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so gentle and kind, and he draws us. He doesn't force us. He shows us his goodness. Even to lead a soul to Jesus, the Bible says the goodness of the Lord leads men to repentance. It's not even, you naughty person, you're going to hell. It's good that people know about it. It's good to preach about it. It's mentioned 53 times in Scripture, hell was. But it wasn't made for man. And Jesus doesn't dangle that. He lets you know it's there. But he doesn't dangle that over people's heads. He rather says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He wants you to look at him. He wants us to get our eyes on him and notice how great he is, how much he loves us, what he can do for us, what he will do for us. What are the riches of the glory in Christ Jesus? What is exceeding power toward us? What kind of power did he have when he set Christ at his right hand? Go from the temptation here where the devil's saying, I'll give you everything. Because here's what usually happens. Just before your breakthrough is going to come, the devil will come and try to intervene and block it by getting you to do something stupid he wants you to do. And so with Jesus, it was eat bread, legitimate need, hungry, eat bread, but turn that rock into bread under the devil's advice. Let's go up to the pinnacle of the temple and you jump off, because the scripture says that if you're the Son of God, you won't scratch your foot against a stone. So I heard someone say he's trying to get Jesus to commit suicide by twisting the word of God. Oh, Jesus didn't fall for any of that. And then the last one's showing him everything he can have. You can have all of this. Well, you got to remember, it's a liar speaking. And he don't even have his own home. He don't even have his own home. One lady says, he's a homeless, lost, lying loser. and yet he comes to you and boasts great things like he did with Jesus. Show you the glory of all these worlds. Well, then go over here and see, God already had that for Jesus. He was going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was going to sit at God's right hand. And so here it says, and what is exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above, this is cool. Far above all principalities, that's the devils and demons. Far above all principality and powers, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He has put all things under his feet and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Praise God. So Jesus' day was coming. He had to be faithful, and not just unto death, but unto death. And the Bible tells us if we are faithful unto death, we'll receive the crown of life. And the enemy will come to put a lot of blocks, a lot of lies. If he can't get you to falter somewhere in your doctrine, if he can't get you pulled off from the word of God, he may come to promise you all this wonderful stuff, what he thinks will be tempting to you. It'll be with Eve. It was what was enticing to her. He didn't come and promise something that didn't look good. He didn't promise something. He came to the very core of the things she wasn't supposed to do, and said, "Hath God said?" Trying to put doubt with Jesus. It's if you're the Son of God, trying to throw doubt. He'll try to throw doubt into your mind. He'll try to get you to go veer off in some lust of the flesh, with guys who our guys, and I've been told that they just nearly, when they see a pretty girl, they need to turn the page. Turn the page. Don't sit and look. Don't daydream. Don't turn the page. And you have that ability in your mind, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know, that's not God's best or God's plan. And you, just because you're a pastor, a teacher, a preacher, or whatever, you're human. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was human. And he got all of these things coming at him from, you know, the temptation to satisfy his hunger the wrong way in the wrong time, to doctrine twisted. Would he believe a twisted doctrine and act on it? Or would he decide that he needed his satisfaction right now instead of being able to wait, delayed things that God's promised you? Because he's promised that he will give you all things. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Can't get it at Walmart. Mm-mm. You know, you can buy something you desire if you got the money. But the very deepest desires of your heart, you have no ability to bring that to pass. It says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also him, and he will bring it to pass. And then it says, and he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. That's Pelosi. And or him who brings wicked devices to pass. You know, we do. We fret over the wickedness going on in our country right now. But he says, just cease from anger and forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers will be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, trust in the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And then it just says, and yet a little while the wicked will not be. You will consider his place, and it won't be. It won't be long. Those people, they're old. They're going to pass away. A whole new generation goes. A generation's 10 years. Generation, it flips pretty quick. Mm-hmm. I've lived seven of them now, seven and five. And it just gone pretty quick. I still feel like I'm 57, but my body knows better, and it tells me different. But we've got to make use of all the time we have for the Lord. There's no time to goof off and think that we can go play around in sin and then come back. That's a lie of the enemy. There's actually a scripture that helps me understand. The Bible says in Ezekiel 18, if there is a righteous man who turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he will die in his sin. And all his righteous deeds will be forgotten. And I'm like, whoa. Okay. There's a group of people, Jesus said, that will stand and say, he'll say, I never knew you. And they will say, yeah, you did. Remember us? We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did all these mighty works in your name. And he says, I never knew you. Could he say, I never knew you, when they were working for him? Why? Because they turned from their righteousness, and all of their righteousness was forgotten. So it's as though they had never done anything for God. I mean, that is sad, that you spend your lifetime working for God and then make a decision to walk away from God. And you say, well, people don't do that. But one lady did, in her name. I forgot what her name was. Her husband was Ira Stanfield. And Ira Stanfield and her together wrote this song, There's Room at the Cross for You. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. But she was a very beautiful girl. And somehow with the devil coming to her and talking to her, she decided to backslide. Leave her husband, go sing in the bars. But she had a beautiful voice. She was 28. She remarried and left Ira, left him with the children, I do believe. And she stepped out of a bar one night and was hit by a car and killed. And you go, well, do people backslide? Well, the scripture says, if a righteous man turn from his righteousness. So there are some people who make a decision to turn. It's not a person who goes out and makes a mistake and says a cuss word, or even may commit adultery and go back and repent. It's the person who makes a conscious, willful decision. They don't want God in their lives anymore. And that's the person who don't come back from those. And maybe you say, well, they do. There's a lot of people who come back. So don't, I know that fall back, some come back. But I'm just talking about the category of somebody who's been up here in ministry, who's done great things for God. And Jesus said in the scripture, they'll say, but I did great things for you. And he'll say, but I never knew you. Mm-hmm. And that's why he can say he never knew them, because all the good deeds are forgotten. I did hear of one story this last week of a boy who got saved, and he saw God, an angel visited him, and he showed him some things. And then he showed him this cart being pulled by a horse, and inside in the back was a box. And it was in hell. And he looked, and his mother, he could see his mother in that box. And he said, this is your mom. And look at her now, because you will never think of her again. And so he, 11-year-old boy, went and told his mom, because she was still alive. And he said, she got saved that day. And so it made me realize, the people in heaven, if we miss heaven, the people in heaven won't remember you. The people in hell did remember their relatives. But God's not going to allow any tears in our eyes. He's going to wipe away all tears from the eyes of those who know Jesus. And in heaven, it'll be as though they never knew that person. They won't remember them. They will never think of them again. And I'm like, how sad to be the one lost that, you know, in hell, and nobody knows you but the devil. Mm. And you're away from everything, everybody. We need people. We live for people. We live with people. We love people. If you don't have people in your life, I thought I was going to pass out and die during COVID just from having to be isolated. But the Bible speaks 53 times of hell. So we've got to be aware that there's a devil out to kill, steal, and he's come to destroy us and ruin our ministries and confuse us, and maybe some harder than others because we haven't known how to stand up to him, or we've listened, or we've disobeyed. And at some point we need to come back to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm trying, but I got to have some help. I got to have some help. And as we get our help around us, there isn't anything impossible with God. If we will keep seeking him, keep an open heart, keep a humble heart before him. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near, indicating there will be a time when you might seek and you can't find. But while the door is open, seek the Lord while he may be found. The Isaiah 55 says, ho, everyone that are listening, everyone, hearken, everyone, kind of, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come, buy and eat wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Come and let your soul live. So Jesus gives the invitation to all of us to come. And now, as the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't think that you have a lot of time to lollygag, because if you'll just watch the signs of the time, we're in a pretty good mess in our country and in our world. Mm-hmm. And we don't know when Jesus is coming. We know he's preparing his bride. We know there's revivals happening, all popping around all around the world. There's revival. Revival. People are getting saved. You're hearing some little bits of it, but people are getting saved and filled with the Spirit, and mighty miracles are happening. And even some here with the link, we've had 3-4 people healed. We've had Connor's eyes. He's not wearing glasses anymore. This has just happened in the last couple of months. Vicky's back was healed when she came up for prayer. Keys, a foot was healed. One lady was delivered from some demons. And that amazed me. She came up in the women's conference. And when I noticed her, she's laying on the floor. and all these women, 13 women were around her praying. Our granddaughter got in there, and she's speaking in tongues. She's praying, that woman. And that woman got up with a different countenance. She was sort of an ashen gray color, and she got up with the prettiest, whitest skin and delivered. And God is just doing great things in her life, saving some. Some of her children came and got saved. And even though it's kind of happening on a quiet level, God is moving. Amen. He's moving in Elk City. And not probably our church is not on the only church. He's probably moving in a lot of things I don't even know about here in Elk City. Things are happening in all the churches. Just if in your church, seek God. Get to pray. What started our move was God told Brent if he would call the church to a corporate three-day fast, that he would start breaking bondages. Mm-hmm. And the church responded, and everybody, so many fasted, at least partially of those days, and some of them total fast for 3 days. And then some of them did it again the next month just before our women's retreat. And so there's been a lot of fasting in the prayer, which has broken bondage in people's lives. There's a power to fasting and prayer that we need to find. But stay on the straight and narrow. Keep seeking, and when the devil comes up to give you trouble, if it's more than you can handle, get your pastor, get your friends, get inside, seek the Lord, get the Word of God, and get help, and let's make it. Let's go for God. Let's finish this race well.
Amen. Great, great lesson today. And Judy, I'd like for you to pray to end our time here this morning. But in that prayer, I'd like for you to pray for Monica, who had that stress test this morning, that the stress test would show that she is healthy as a horse. So I don't know what the result was, but we're going to believe that, that's what we're believing for, is that that stress test is going to show that she doesn't have any issues.
Precious Lord, you know exactly all about Monica. Father, you've healed her, and you have worked in her life and brought healing emotionally, spiritually, and every other way, God. You brought her up as a trophy of your grace. And Lord, this is an easy thing for you. And we just ask you, Lord, to touch her, that you will smile your grace down upon her, that there won't be one thing wrong with her, Lord, that she will get a total clean bill of health, that this stress test will turn out good, that there'll be nothing wrong with her heart, that you, Lord Jesus, have touched her heart, given her a new heart, new spiritual heart, new physical heart, and Lord, that you'll give her many years to serve you. You keep her on the straight and narrow in every way. Bless her, use her, bless her family, God. Do great mighty things, Lord, in her church and her with her pastors, and do help them to guide her and help her and lead her and just work all things, Lord. And bless that church family, God, and be with them and all her grandchildren, Lord, Angel, and the rest of them, God. Keep your hand upon them, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. From me, Neva, from Tina, from Sister Judy, have a blessed day, and we'll see you back in here tomorrow.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app, where you'll find The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.